I invite you to turn back to my text in Matthew 13, which I read to you a few moments ago. He begins with a parable of the sower, and then the seven verses which follow, which I'll use as my text, verses 10 through 16. And these things are all about this wonderful working of Christ in the believer. That's what he's talking about. That's his subject. And this work that he's talking about here is a hearing. It's a hearing. Verse 15 tells us what is needed is to see with our eyes, eyes of faith, and hear with our ears and understand with our hearts and be converted, or as he says in the original text in Isaiah 6:10, this is where he's quoting from, and convert. Convert. A change be brought about. A turning. Going one way, now you're going another. The fall of Adam was the spiritual death of humanity. That's just so. That's where we have to start, Russell, because that's where we're at. There's no need for me to start up here on the ladder somewhere. You're not on the ladder. You're down here. The fall of Adam was the spiritual death of all humanity. By nature, he's a barren field. That's what our Lord's showing us here. He has some seed. He's the husbandman. He's purposed to plant some seed. He's purposed to glean some fruit. He's going to raise something. He's going to accomplish something. He's going to take this tiny seed and he's going to raise it up into a glorious, beautiful crop. That's what he's talking about. And he's telling us here that by nature, man is a barren field. If left to himself, he can produce nothing. He's a hypocrite. What did our Lord say to the most religious men on this earth? He called them hypocrites and blind, didn't he? If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. If left to himself, he can produce nothing but weeds and thistles. To produce anything beneficial, some ground has to be set apart. Something has to be done. It has to be broken up. You don't just go out here and cut down some trees and start throwing seed out there. You got to remove the stumps. More westerns I used to watch, they'd be out there digging and digging and digging for days to get one big stump out. I can't imagine how long it took to clear a field. But once they got it cleared, then they'd plow it up, and then they'd take all the rocks out. They'd take everything out that was going to be a distraction. They'd get rid of it. And they'd plow that field, and they'd disc that field, and they'd hoe that field. And then they'd throw the good seed in. To produce anything beneficial, the ground must be broken up, beaten fine, and good seed sown within. And this is a parable that he gives. He tells us that at the very beginning. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly lesson. And don't try when you read these parables to find six or seven things that this parable's saying. This parable's just saying one thing. One thing. Every parable teaches one thing. One thing. It's an earthly story with a heavenly lesson. And the lesson here is about hearing. It's about hearing. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers. Now listen to this. This is God talking. This ain't me. I'm reading to you the Word of God. We are laborers together with God. Now listen, ye are God's husbandry. What's he talking about? His crop. His crop. His field. His field. He set apart in all humanity, all this barren ground. He set apart in there a strip of land. And the husbandman, God, is going to raise a crop. He's going to raise a crop. We're his husbandry. And according to God's eternal purpose of grace, there are places where his seed will grow and produce fruit, and there's places where it won't. That's just so. That's just so. Just because you plant seed don't mean it's going to come up and produce fruit. And he gives us a few examples of this in the parable. He talks about the wayside. You're sowing seed. Maybe the wind's blowing, whatever. Some seed gets over on the wayside. What's the wayside? That's where people walk. That's where they drive the wagons, that dirt out there hard as a bullet. Not only that, but where people travel. This is a wayside. Just try to vision in your mind what he's talking about. He's talking about a wayside. People been running up down this road out here all morning. Cars. Go out there and walk down the edge of the road. You're going to see somebody stopped at the drive-in, got a hamburger, and ate part of it, didn't like the rest, and threw it out the window. You reckon those birds know what that is? After all these years? They know exactly what it is. And they're looking. They're looking. They're looking for something that looks edible. Here they come. They grab it. They're gone. Wayside hearers are hearers who hear, and they treat it like scraps of information. They didn't know what they heard, had no understanding, and therefore they let it drop. And just like the fowls come along the highway and eat those scraps of food, the wicked one comes, and he snatches away the seed. It's gone. Gone. He took it away. You had it. What'd you do with it? You let Satan have it. He took it away. And then there's some stony ground here. I'm from Kentucky. Boy, you can't run a plow up there. There's rock that deep. You're in rock. That's why it grows such good grass. It's limestone, grass like lime. And that's about all it's good for. You can't hardly get a place to grow a garden or raise a crop. Stony ground hearers are those who receive the word, but because of the hardness of their hearts, the seed never takes root. It never takes root. It swells up. We used to soak our seeds. I don't know if you all do that or not, but we'd soak them before we planted them, give them a head start. Well, these seeds would swell up. They'd swell up, but they couldn't produce a root because there wasn't enough dirt, wasn't enough ground. And then when the sun rises, it burns them up. And they said that's persecution. That's what our Lord said that was. Persecution, tribulation, opposition. And then there's some thorny ground over there. You're sowing these seeds and there's a big patch of thorns over there, and wind blows some of that seed over on, among them thorns, and the thorns grow up and choke out the seed. I thought I put some seed in there. How come there ain't nothing in there? Thistles choked it out. He said the thistles are the cares of this world. Let that go in. Let that settle in. The cares of this world. How long will you hold what you hear today? You won't get out of the building before you start talking about the cares of this world. Cares this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. I gotta have this. No, you want that. You don't have to have it. You just want it. And so we go after it. And then when you get it, it's old hat. Don't take long, a year or two. That car you couldn't live without, it's just a car now, and all you got's a payment. Huh? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word. Chokes it out. You ain't got time to think about it, Russell. You ain't got time to consider. I got to get to this. I got to do that. I got to go do this. Only that sown in good ground, prepared to receive the seed, produced any fruit. God has a people he chose to save through his Son to manifest his glory. He chose them and he blessed them with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Nothing withheld, nothing kept back, nothing left to chance or subject to change. Just as that farmer set apart the lower 40s, we'll call it that. He set apart the lower 40. He said, I'm going to raise my prize wheat in this ground. He prepares it, he dungs it, he tills it. He watches over it. He digs out the stumps, he picks out the rocks. That ground is ready for seed. It's ready for seed. All these blessings that God has blessed us with in Christ, they come down, James 1:17, from the Father of lights. Now watch this, with whom is no variableness. No variableness. Neither shadow of turning. He's not changing. Jesse, he's fixed. And what he's doing. He's not going to change. He's not going to vary. Well, what about this? That's your what about. That's got nothing to do with him. He's not going to change. He's not going to change. These are good and perfect blessings called gifts in James 1:17. And among these gifts is the word of truth by which he begets his sons and daughters. That's what he said. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That's what he says after he talks about these gifts coming down in James 1. Now listen to the next verse. Therefore, let every man be swift to hear. Huh? Let him be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Some of you men who have some wisdom, don't you just hate it when you're trying to tell somebody something and you know they don't know? And he can't listen for talking. I've been a builder all my life. I know how to build. I helped build all this. I know how. But I sit and try to tell somebody how, and they can't hear me for talking. Well, come on now, I'm 71. I have some experience back here somewhere. You might just give me the benefit of the doubt. Huh? Be swift to hear. Nothing's going to happen unless you hear. Let everything be arranged for my hearing. I want to hear. That's why we don't have babies in the assembly. I can't out-preach a baby. Put the baby in the back. It ain't going to hear anything yet. It'll get old enough one of these days and come out here and hear. Meantime, it needs to go back there. Everything in here is geared for hearing. I have to hear. Let every man therefore be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. To accomplish this great work, our God chose us in his Son. In his Son by an eternal union so that we're always before him holy. We've been holy since he put us in Christ. Before we was ever made, before we ever had a being. From the day he chose us in Christ, we were holy. And we always will be. We're in him. We're in him. He chose us in Christ that we might be holy. And listen, without blame. Not one sin's ever been laid to the charge of God's elect. It was all charged to Christ. All charged to Him. We're in His Son by an eternal union so that we're always before Him holy and without blame and always being loved. His love doesn't change. And the only way that it can't change is because He put us in Christ. Nobody can separate us. That's what He says in those last verses of Romans 8. What can separate us from the love of Christ? And He goes through this big long list. Anything you could think of is in that list. Nothing, He said, shall be able to separate you from the love of God. Now listen, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He chose us in Christ that we might ever be before Him in love. That is, being loved. And in being loved, we love Him in return. Isn't that right? That's right. Everything God eternally purposed for us to have, is secured in His Son. He mentioned some of these things that He secured. He secured these things, Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He made us accepted in the blood, in whom we also have redemption. Redemption through His blood. All of these things according to the good pleasure of His will and to the glory of His grace. And so when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Now we're predestinated. You remember what I just said to you? We're predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He did that when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Now listen, that we might receive that adoption. That we might actually become adopted. Adoption was purposed back yonder. It was secured in Christ. And now it comes to you. Comes to you. And because you're sons, here's the next verse. This is in Ephesians 4. Galatians 4. Here's the next verse. Because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You reckon there's any way you're not going to hear if you're one of His? You're going to hear. Why? Because it was secured for you in Christ before the world was. Does that make sense? That's exactly what the Scripture teaches. He talks about this in Ephesians 2. He tells us that as He was raised up from the dead, that we were raised up together with Him and seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ. That is in order that, in times to come, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. The elect of God is the ground into which God has purposed to sow His seed. Sowing is preaching. That's what it is. That's preaching. Watering. What's that? That's preaching. That's preaching. Paul said, I planted and Apollos has watered. God gave the increase. When our Lord had finished the parable, He said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Let him hear. He was surrounded by what Stephen called stiff-necked people who were uncircumcised in heart and ears, and who did always, just like their fathers did, resist the Holy Ghost. Christ was surrounded with the same kind of people. We're always surrounded by that kind of people because that's how man is. A people who thought they knew God but didn't. Raised in religion but never questioned the validity of it. He was surrounded by people who had a lot to say but none of it for the glory of God. And this whole thing is about his word, the gospel seed, and why it's received the way it is. This whole parable. And there's several things he tells us about true hearers. Let me give you a few. First of all, he tells us that hearing is the means of faith. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. They hear. And listen to this, Matthew 13:11. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of God. Given unto you. Know these mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's given to you. You know what he says about these mysteries? They've been hidden from the world from the beginning. Even the Jews who studied this book, who knew this book forward and back, even the Jews didn't understand the mystery of the Gentiles. They didn't understand the mystery of God coming into the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God come into the flesh. Who would have thought that? Nobody would have thought. That's a mystery, Russell. It was hidden. It was hidden. God's going to save a people by grace through faith. Who would have ever thought that? He gave a law. He separated a whole tribe just to take care of the things of the law. He set apart a high priest to read the law. He gave them prophets to tell them what the law was. And they come away believing salvation was by obedience to the law. That's the way we'd have come away. Why? They didn't understand the mysteries. It's given unto you. And that faith, he says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I know this is a very unpopular doctrine. It always has been from the beginning. You mean I have to hear somebody preach? I didn't say it. God did. Take it up with him. It's what he said. Well, I don't have to hear that preacher. You do if God sent you that preacher. You'll hear him or die. Was there anything in the Jordan River to cure leprosy? Nothing. Was there other rivers clearer than the Jordan? Oh yeah, many. If Naaman hadn't went down and dipped in the River Jordan, he'd have died a leper. Why? Because God told him to go into Jordan. That's why. That's why. Well, I don't have to hear a preacher. I can read the book. Go ahead. Go ahead. Thousands thought that very same thing, woke up in hell. The Jews, for sure. For sure. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me, but you won't come to me that you might have life. Paul said, Apollos and I are ministers by whom you believed, even as God has given to every man. Does that mean what that says? That means exactly what it says. Now, this hearing of the word is not the cold, dead hearing of the law being read, or the account of creation, or the genealogies of men. It's not the frivolous telling of fables out of the story of Noah and Samson and Moses and David. And it's not just a simple, casual reading of the word. Peter said, his word endureth forever. His word is the semen by which believers are born. Isn't that what he said? 1 Peter 1:23. That's exactly what he said. And this is the word, he says in verse 25, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Gospel preaching is the seed of regeneration. It's the seed by which God's husbandry shall be produced. If there's no seed sown, there's not going to be a crop. Not going to be a crop. I've been raising a garden for years, and I know if I don't plant lettuce, I ain't going to eat lettuce. It ain't coming up. You can't throw a handful of seed out there and expect lettuce and corn and beans. You have to get the right kind of seed. And that seed, you're going to look on there, and there it is. There's the image that it's going to produce. Christ is the image of God. That's what he's going to produce. That's the seed we sow. If you don't sow that seed, you're going to get another image. I've done that before. Planted beans this spring. I thought I was planting bush beans, and they were pole beans in the wrong sack. And I put them in, and I had to pull them all up. They were eating my tomatoes. It's the seed by which God's husbandry shall be produced. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born of God. And there's nowhere else to get this seed. A sower must be chosen and sent forth to sow. What we preach is not being declared in the average pulpit. The eternal appointments of Christ are a mystery hidden from generations. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek without beginning of days or end of time. He's the eternal mediator of God, and so mediates the will and purpose of God. There's only one in all of heaven, in all of eternity, who could walk to the throne where the book of God's purpose and decrees were and take the book and unloose the seals. Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the eternal mediator of God. He's the creator of the world. All things were created by him and for him. He's before all things. All of this wasn't here. There was just Christ. And he created it. He created it. And he's the Lord of providence. Ephesians 1:10, that in the stewardship of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Somebody said that word dispensation there means economy and not stewardship. But economy is nothing more than what's been put under the steward, isn't it? It's the steward. He's the stewardship of all things, and he's the steward of time. Of time. He's the one gathering. Time and providence are in his hands, under his authority. He arranges these things. We preach Christ as all, that he alone is the manifestation of God, of God's will, of God's purpose, one source of acceptance with God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he said. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. One source of righteousness, one source of redemption. And this book is a mystery to natural men, none that understandeth and none that seeketh after God. And he said, how are you going to call on him in whom you have not believed? I know you believe in a God. Well, the Lord will sort it all out when we all get together. We all ain't getting together. You hear me? God's not going to save everybody. He's going to save his people. His people. Now, how are you going to call on him in whom you have not believed? And how are you going to believe in him of whom you have not heard? And how are you going to hear without a preacher? And my goodness, how in the world is he going to preach if God don't send him? Hearing is the means of faith. Secondly, he tells us that hearing is the gift of God. It's given unto you. Oh, my soul. How come you believe and your neighbor don't? How come some of you believe and your wife don't? Or your children don't? It's given unto you. That's why. That's why. Oh, we've been geared to this. I read a thing on Facebook the other day. It just made me mad. This woman who ought to know better said, until a man chooses to do something, it'll never get done. What it is when God shuts you up till you got nothing else to choose, then you'll choose him. That's so, ain't it? Sure it is. He whacks off everything out there, every avenue, every exit, anything else that you could do. He chops it away and he leaves you there naked before him. You know, he found one of the disciples and he ran and told his brother. He said, I found the Lord. Well, it tells you in the verse just before that the Lord found him. He knew who he was and he found him. And then he went and told his brother, I found the Lord. Well, he did, and I guess you could say, you'll find him when he finds you. You'll find him. You know him. Oh, my soul. It's given to you. It's given to you. Well, what's that mean? That means that everything in your life and everything in eternity has been governed to that end. That's what that means. I go select a gift. I know who I'm buying it for. I know when I'm going to give it. I know why I'm going to give it. And I'm going to see to it that they get it and somebody else don't. It's no different with the Lord. Everything in your life, everything in eternity has been governed to this end. You have a being, and God has determined the times, he said, before appointed, Acts 17, and set the bounds of your habitation that you cannot pass. And everything from the creation of Adam to the day you hear the gospel has been and shall go on being for your good and his glory. Everything. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And when a person believes it, that's God's seal on him. That's God's seal that he's a true heir. When the prodigal son came home, he had his little speech all worked out, didn't he? When I get home, I'm going to tell Dad, just put me out there with the rest of them, and I'll just... You don't even have to tell them I'm your son. I'll just come home and I'll go out there and I'll be like a servant and I'll hoe the potatoes or whatever you need done and I'll go do the... He was a son. He was a son when he left. He was a son down in the hog pen and he's still a son. And he comes and the father runs out to meet him and the son is just overwhelmed. Here's the father and he hugs him and he kisses him. He wasn't expecting that. What did he do next? He took that ring. You know what that ring was? They had important documents, and they'd melt that wax, and they'd take that ring. That was the family seal, and they'd seal that document. He put the seal on his finger. You're my son. Oh, that's hard to believe it. You're my son. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, a promise. You can't perceive the promise, you can't hear the promise, you can't believe the promise without the Spirit of God. But when he gives it to you, it comes in the Spirit and it never goes away. You're sealed. That's what Paul said. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, my soul. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and this is the earnest, he said, of our inheritance. What is that promise? Oh, I thought the earnest was how I felt. No, the The earnest is who you believe. That's the earnest. That Holy Spirit of promise. And all those promises, the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Thirdly, it tells us in no uncertain terms that they did hear. How contrary this gospel is to this unbelieving world. Salvation by substitution, salvation accomplished by representation, blood atonement, free justification, salvation by grace through faith. Totally contrary to what's been preached. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them who are perishing. They're perishing. You look up that word, to them that perish. And the sense of it is this, who are perishing every day, perishing. Whole world out here, Randy. We know that the whole world, oh my soul, they're all perishing. And to the perishing, the gospel, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto them that are being saved, it's the power of God. How important then is that hearing? God's elect really do hear. They hear what's devoured by the wicked one and others, what's destroyed by persecution and temptation and others, and what's choked by the cares of this world. They really hear. How you know if they hear? Because they sojourn in this world as in a strange land. They're looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They live in this world as a temporary place, and they know it. That's how they live. They refuse whatever royal titles and privileges the world may offer, and they choose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God. You know, Henry Mahan was being set apart down at Tennessee Temple University to be another Billy Graham. They were grooming him, teaching him. They saw in him a real talent, a real affection for people. They're going to train him and make him another Billy Graham. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God. They esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than everything Egypt had to offer. I know they hear when they submit. They submit to be taught. Don't come in here knowing everything. They come in here hungry to hear. I want to be taught. They submit to baptism. They submit to the Word of God. They submit to the means of God, to the providence of God, and to the commandments of God. They really do hear. Fourthly, faith, or the hearing that brings it, is a blessing. Blessed are your ears. Oh, man. You know, I've had people come in here and listen to me and run out the door like they just figured out that they ate rat poisoning. And they're running out for a cure. That's not how the believer hears. I tell you when I know, when you hear for the very first time, when you hear, man, them big tears. I'm rolling down that face. God spoke to me. I told Henry, I said, I wouldn't trade that message and that hour for all the rest of my life. I wept like a baby. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Oh, his hearing is immediately perceived as a blessing. Blessed are your eyes. He said, for verily I say unto you that many prophets, many righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear and have not heard them. Hearing is a blessing, and this blessing is a blessing of grace. He allowed you to hear. He arranged for you to hear. And he enabled you to hear. One more thing and I'll quit. It's a work in us that lives
and grows and matures till we go to be with the Lord. I want you to listen to this, Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given, verse 12, now watch this, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. He's going to give him a little, but then he ain't going to close up the sack and put it up. He's going to give him a little, and he's going to give him a little more, and he's going to give him a little more, and he's going to give him a little more until he gets it all. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. That seed that he had for a short time, the wicked one going to come and snatch it away. Snatch the cares of this world, going to choke it out. And I don't know who's being saved and who's not, but I do know this. Those being saved grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. They submit to his means. They're easily corrected. They listen to the warnings of God. And they obey our Lord's commandments. His pastors speak the truth in love, so you may grow up into him in all things. And they preach till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until we see him, the perfect man, perfect in righteousness, the perfect Savior. He's perfect. When Christ had finished telling them about this blessed hearing, he said in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now hear. Hear what I said. And he explains it to them in detail. Years ago, there was a missionary. Oh, he was so far back into the jungle. This was a new tribe. This is the first white man they'd ever seen. This missionary came in there, and he had his little dog with him, and he set up his tent and outside the village, and he go in there, and he was just struggling for some way to tell them, to get it across to them who Christ is and the importance of hearing this gospel, why he was there. And he was in there one day, and he's just struggling. I did that. I went down to Mexico and went out in those little pueblos to preach out there with Walter Gruber. And I sit out there, and up here you can talk about washing as white as snow. Ain't nobody in Yucatan ever seen snow. They don't know what snow is. You can talk about being washed in the stream, that flowing water. There's no water flowing in Yucatan. It's all underground. No streams. They don't know what you're talking about. It's difficult, and you're sitting here with this people that, I mean, you just don't have anything in common with, and you're trying to preach the gospel to them, and that's what this missionary is doing. And as he left, he noticed his little dog wasn't with him. And he turned around, and he whistled for his dog. Man, here comes that dog. He come flying through that little Indian village, and one of them natives looked at that dog going and said, that dog all ear. He's all ear. That's what the believer is. He's all ear. He's all ear. He hears his voice. He hears. That's what this whole thing is all about. He gives 7 parables, every one of them about hearing this gospel. Thank you.